A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these performing arts organizations. Today, we'll check in to hear about the inaugural season of NYO Jazz, the latest addition to the National Youth Orchestra family at Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. I'll speak with pianist Brooke Wyatt and bass trombonist Wyatt Forehan, two of the students who were accepted into the big band ensemble, and also with Joanna Massey, Director of Learning and Engagement Programs at the Weill Music Institute, about how these young musicians all came together to celebrate and explore great jazz music. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Chicago will become a regular part of the American Ballet Theatre's season beginning next spring, as the company starts a four-year partnership with the city's Auditorium Theatre. In a statement, the organization said the four-year agreement, which makes ABT a visiting resident company of the Auditorium, will begin with an ABT performance of Whipped Cream in April 2019 and continue with additional spring performances through 2022. ABT first performed at the Auditorium Theatre in 1969. The New England Conservatory has named Andrea Kalin as its president. Kalin, who has been dean of the Oberlin Conservatory of Music since 2014, will begin her term in January. She succeeds Tony Woodcock, who left in June 2015. Kalin, who holds a PhD in musicology from the Eastman School of Music, also spent 9 years as associate dean for academic affairs at Oberlin. She will be the first woman to serve as president at the Boston-based conservatory. The Metropolitan Opera and the unions that represent the opera's singers, musicians, chorus members, and some other employees have reached a tentative agreement just after the previous contract expired. According to Broadway World, the Associated Musicians of Greater New York, Local 802, and the American Guild of Musical Artists released a brief statement announcing the agreement, adding that union members still need to ratify the deal. Details were not released. According to the New York Times, issues that have been under discussion in recent years include salary levels and a possible change in the Met's current policy of not performing on Sundays. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Since 2013, enthusiastic young musicians have filled the air around SUNY Purchase with great music, playing with exuberance and passion through the National Youth Orchestra program created through Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. This year, a new vibe joined the musical landscape as students from the first-ever NYO Jazz program converged on the campus for their own musical experience. The premise behind the original National Youth Orchestra of the USA was to bring together some of the top young musicians in the country for rehearsals and masterclasses, and then bring them on a tour through the U.S. or abroad, including a stop at Carnegie Hall. This year, that journey is taking them through Asia under the direction of Michael Tilson Thomas. NYO2 debuted in 2016 in an effort to reach slightly younger students, those ages 14 to 17, particularly those from underrepresented communities with less access to high-level performing ensembles. Now in its third year, NYO2 enjoyed a 6-day residency in Miami at the New World Center. Finally, this year, students passionate about jazz had the chance to join the NYO community. 22 students, ages 16 to 19, spent 2 weeks at SUNY under the direction of jazz trumpeter and bandleader Sean Jones. Following their Carnegie Hall debut, they are now traveling, along with vocalist Diane Reeves, through Europe, including stops in Berlin, Amsterdam, and the Edinburgh International Festival. Before they headed out, I spoke with two of the students, Brooke Wyatt, a pianist from Houston, and Wyatt Forehan, a bass trombonist from St. Louis, about their experiences.
For me, it's definitely been a new experience because I've never really been in this a program like this intense for consistently playing and practicing, and that's like what we're doing the majority of the day. So it's been really good, and I feel like it's pushed me to a higher level of plan being here, definitely. And I've learned a lot just over like a week and a half, which is very crazy to think about. But it's been a really new but great experience so far.
And Wyatt?
Yeah, I would have to agree with everything what Brooke said. But personally, being in this group, it's been an honor, really, being able to grow not only as an individual, but just how to interact with more people around the same age as us. You know, we've all been saying this too. This is the first band that we've all been in where everybody can really play their instrument and play it extremely well. And nobody vibes each other. Like, everybody loves each other and everybody loves the music. And you can really tell that now when we play. And it's just really been a beautiful experience. I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Well, what was it that made you decide to audition? How did you find out about it? And what made you decide you really wanted to try?
I found out about it during my college audition process. And my counselor from my school actually handed me a flyer, and I saw Sean Jones' face on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm very familiar with him, and I'd be interested in trying out for the program. So while I was in there, she just, you know, gave me this flyer, and I was like, cool, I'll send in some audition tapes. I've already been doing that so far for all these schools, so I'll give it a try and just see what happens. And it ended up working out.
And Wyatt?
It's really kind of interesting thing. I was actually planning, I originally didn't audition for this program, and I was originally planning on doing a second year of the Next Generation Jazz Orchestra, which is another program kind of like this. But a week after the auditions were due, the piano faculty, Reggie Thomas, he gave me a call. He's like, man, you should really audition for this. I was like, well, shoot, I have to do it now, because, you know, I didn't want to, because I was working on all my college auditions at the time. And you know, it's kind of like an extra thing added onto the plate. But yeah, I'm so glad Reggie told me to call, because this has been like a dream come true. It's been life changing already, and we're not even finished. So I'm excited to see where we go next.
Great. And now, what was it, you know, if you could each just tell me a little bit how you got into music, first of all, and then what brought you the jazz? And why don't you start that one?
Sure. I started learning piano when I was summer of second grade. It was kind of like my mom was like, all right, y'all aren't sitting around all summer not doing anything, so I'm going to get you doing piano lessons. And, you know, I did like a year of piano lessons. I was kind of liking it. And I was getting to be okay at it. And then when fourth grade came around, that's when we had to decide what instrument we were going to play in band. And so my band director recommended learning trombone to help sight reading for the left-hand piano. So I was like, okay, cool. And so a year later, started playing bass trombone. And that's when he introduced me to Count Basie and our jazz ensemble. That's the first year I did jazz ensemble. And ever since he turned me on to Count Basie, I knew I wanted to play this music. And that's also how I fell in love with the bass trombone as well.
And Brooke?
Yeah, back in like second grade, my mom, or even before that, my mom had always been telling me like, oh, you're going to play piano, you're going to play the piano. So I never really thought about it, but she put me in lessons, and it was classical at first. But around like the summer going into middle school, like sixth grade, I did this program called Summer Jazz Workshop in Houston, Texas, and my brother was already in it. I saw him do it about 2 years before, so my mom wanted me to do that so I wouldn't be around all summer, and I had no clue what jazz was or what it was about, and it was really kind of scary in a way, because I didn't really know how to improvise. I didn't know anything about chord changes. All I knew was how to read what was straight on the page, but it really pushed me like out of my comfort zone, and that pushed me to audition for the performing arts school in my hometown, and it just continued from there, and I auditioned for schools now, and I'm going to school for music. So yeah, really, it was just that summer program really just introduced me to jazz and introduced me to like a real passion for the music itself.
Now, what's been the biggest challenge that you've faced so far in the past week and a half?
For me, I'd say just getting out of my own head. Like, a lot of the faculty here has been like really trying to push that in us, like it's about the music and not to focus so much on our own selves, but to focus on contributing to the music. And it's sometimes tough because, you know, you're always used to just kind of critiquing yourself harder than you would do anybody else. So just getting out of your own head and realizing that it's okay to try new things and not try to just stick under the radar and play what you're comfortable, but get out of your comfort zone and not worry about failing, but worry about just trying something new, adding something new to the music. So that's been kind of challenging, just getting out of my own head and, you know, trying new things.
Yeah, I would have to agree with everything. I would say that'd be my biggest challenge too, is, you know, being able to sacrifice for the music. You know, a lot of people play, you know, to satisfy themselves. And, you know, that's definitely not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to play to make people, you know, fall in love with the music over and over again every time they hear us play. And, you know, that's been a big challenge, you know, being able to sacrifice, you know, what you're best at, or like trying to present yourself in the best of light, or like, look at me, look at me. But that's not what it's about. It's about look at us. And, you know, everybody has been doing that now. And it didn't really start off that way, but now everybody's just sacrificing so this music can sound absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, with, I guess, about 22 of you in the band, have you all really grown pretty close?
Oh, I would definitely say so. Yeah, we're all really close now. It's only been a week and a half. Yeah, it started off like that, too. We all started off getting along just right from the start. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody introduced themselves, and it's just been a hang ever since.
Right. Yeah, we've really been, like, I'm actually very surprised, because I didn't know really what to expect while coming here, but it's been, like, very refreshing, like, just being with this particular group of people, because they're, like, super, super cool, super nice. It's been a fun time, and it feels like we've kind of known each other for forever, but it's really been a week and a half, which is really crazy, and we still have two more weeks in, like, a whole new environment, so that's really exciting.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to ask about that, because you're actually about to start out on a pretty big adventure. You know, first of all, you've got your Carnegie Hall debut, and then you're off to a European tour. What does it feel like to be, first of all, just where you have been in your, you know, your musical training, and now to be in this position of going on a European tour?
I mean, it's a dream come true. We all put in all this hard work starting off, and it's kind of a struggle, you know, like you're sacrificing at times when you could be maybe hanging out with friends or doing something else, but instead you commit to the shed and you're just like working and working on your craft, and shoot, now we get to go on a European tour. And that's like, that to me is like the most rewarding thing, being able to go like spread music to a different country and represent ourselves with, you know, people our age, where we all get along and love this music. That's like, I couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, for me, this will be my first time out of the country, so I never thought that I would ever, like, get to this opportunity at this age, and it's, like, really a blessing to be here, because I don't know, I didn't know what to expect when doing this, and now I'm just, like, when I got here, it's just all unraveling, and how amazing this actually is, and, like, how big of an opportunity this is. So to be able to go out of the country to do something that I love with, like, all these great people was just, like, more than I could have ever expected before coming here, so.
Now, from what you had said earlier, it sounded like you're both studying music. What are your plans after this, Brooke?
I'm actually going to be attending the Manhattan School of Music in New York in the fall, very soon, so I'll be studying music there.
And I'll be a freshman at Michigan State University, majoring in jazz trombone performance, studying with the great Michael Deves.
That was Wyatt Forehand, a bass trombonist from St. Louis, Missouri, joined by Brooke Wyatt, a pianist from Houston, both members of this year's inaugural NYO Jazz Program, organized through Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. Joanna Massey is director of learning and engagement programs at the Weill Music Institute. She said NYO Jazz brought a new dynamic to the overall NYO program, adding that it didn't take long for the musicians to create the close bonds that foster great music making.
You know, you heard them say, and I would echo, that this group really has felt like family and like a community from day one. You know, I was reflecting on, we came together for a dinner with Sean Jones, our band leader, and a couple members of the faculty on the first evening. And, you know, I looked around at them at their tables and talking with each other, and I just thought, this really doesn't look or feel like a group of people that are just meeting, you know. And in the world of social media, of course, they had been, a lot of them had been in touch in advance and had been checking out each other's YouTube channels and concert videos, and, you know, really felt very quickly like a group. And I think for, you know, what I've seen just overwhelmingly is this really strong passion for jazz that they share, passion for music, and specifically for jazz music, and being able to be around a group of peers who, you know, who share that love is just inspiring and really exciting. So, you know, they come from all over the country, but there's this strong uniting factor, and I feel like you can see it and you can feel it, and it's really brought their, not only their collaboration as musicians, but their collaboration as people kind of to the next level. It's been really fun to see.
Now, what has their schedule been like on a day-to-day basis? What types of classes and what non-training programs have also been thrown in?
Yeah, so most mornings they're in a full band rehearsal, big band rehearsal with both Sean Jones, our band leader, and also Reggie Thomas, who's our ensemble coach. So the morning is a full band rehearsal, and then after a lunch break, most days they're in sectionals with really a fantastic group of faculty. So they break into a rhythm section, sectional, actually within the rhythm section, because we have two full rhythm sections, they usually break up into two different rhythm sections. And then the trombones, the trumpets, and the reeds have their own sectional. So afternoon is really focusing on individual instruments and sections, really, you know, working on specific solis and specific aspects of the repertoire, and, you know, getting some time with these great master musicians and faculty. And then after dinner, most evenings we've come back together for another full band rehearsal, working on concert repertoire. We've done a couple of other activities. We did have on the second evening, we had a faculty performance, a concert, and that was actually for these NYO jazz students. In addition, we also invited all of the NYO and NYO2, so all of our National Youth Ensemble went to that concert and got to hear the jazz faculty. So that was a really nice way, especially for the jazz kids, to, you know, to see their faculty perform and get to know the musicians they were going to be coached by. And then we also had a jam session. You know, it wouldn't be a jazz program without some opportunities to just really jam and play together and improvise. And, you know, that was really informal. They treated it like a jam session in real life, and just, you know, called some tunes, and whoever wanted to play jumped in, and they did it jointly with the students and the faculty. And that was just a really, really fun night. And then we've done a couple of non-musical activities. We had a wellness workshop that was run by Matt Townsend, who is a musician and also personal trainer and coach. And he talked about ways for them to plan for their upcoming tour and to really think about, you know, he gave them specific stretches and exercises and things to think about in terms of taking care of themselves on the road. And we also had a day down in New York City where we left campus, and they had an opportunity to take a Circle Line cruise, a boat cruise around Manhattan, and sightsee a little bit. And then we went to, of course, to hear some jazz at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola with the great John Faddis, who invited one of our trumpet player, our lead trumpet player, Summer Carmargo, to sit in with the band. And that was pretty incredible. So they got to hear some great jazz and also participate in it, too.
Well, as you referred to the NYO and NYO2 programs, this is, of course, the third program that's come out of that initiative. What, in what ways have you been able to mirror what you do in those programs, and in what ways has it been its own program?
I would say, you know, one of the obvious ways that it mirrors the NYO is that it is, you know, NYO Jazz is a collection of, you know, some of the finest young musicians in their genre from across the country. So there's very much a feeling of, you know, bringing together, you know, like-minded and passionate young people to, you know, to play together and to collaborate. There is some similarities in terms of obviously the structure and the experience. So all of the ensembles, you know, come together for a residency and opportunities to rehearse and learn from, you know, amazing professional musicians and faculty. So there's a mentorship component that is there in all three programs. And then after their residency, there, you know, for all three groups this year, there is a touring component. NYO2, of course, touring down to Miami, and then the other two groups touring internationally. So there is, that experience of touring and performing, for audiences in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world. I think jazz has been unique in a couple ways. The orchestras are obviously large. With NYO, there's 120 musicians, and NYO Jazz is small and intimate. You know, it's a big band. There's 22 of them, and so there are, I think, are some unique opportunities to feel, as I mentioned earlier, to feel like a unit and a family, more quickly because of our size. And I think, there's uniqueness certainly in preparing the repertoire. With the classical orchestras, the repertoire is set, far in advance, and we know who our soloists are, and we know what that concert program is going to look like, and everyone, everyone has that information. And with jazz, put together a vision for how he sees the big band as America's orchestra, and really wanted to display the diversity and flexibility of that ensemble. And so, he chose a lot of music, knowing that we might not perform at all, but that he wanted the young people to experience a lot of it. And so, the first week was really about playing a lot of that music and having lots of people improvise and, discovering who would, fit well to solo on different pieces. So I guess what I'm getting at is there was sort of an exploratory element to the repertoire and to the concert, programming that was able to evolve and sort of come about during our time together. And I think, that's obviously felt a little bit different than some of the symphony orchestras. I will say probably the biggest similarity that I see between the three ensembles is the desire and motivation to, play at their absolute best, the way that they are inspired by their peers, inspired by the professionals that they're working with. And all three, whether it's classical or jazz, reaching that sort of pinnacle concert experience where they really can feel like they have performed at their absolute best. And I think that's a hallmark of these ensembles.
Hmm. Well, I was wondering if you could describe in a little more detail that group dynamic, bringing these 22 students together, many of which, as they referred to when I spoke with them, mentioned that really they've never had the chance to play at this level, or at least with other students of this level. What's it like to see them come together?
It's really pretty amazing. There are... most of these students play in big bands or jazz ensembles or even small combos, in their home communities. But many of them have not had the opportunity to, as they said, be in an ensemble where every player and every chair not only is a really skilled musician, but on top of that, a really skilled improviser. And so, to have an ensemble where you can go down the line and know that, all of them are just killing soloists is pretty unique. And I also think that, one of the things we've seen with this group in particular is that, many of them are thinking about careers in music, careers in jazz, and thinking about, that pathway, and to be able to be surrounded with other young people who also, see that as a pathway in a future is pretty special. Sean and our faculty have reinforced with them the fact that, the jazz community in particular is a small world in a lot of ways. And the young people that you're playing with now will be your peers and musicians that you're performing with and collaborating with for many years to come. So, in a way they're starting the formation of what could be, really lifelong, career long, bonds and collaborations with other musicians. And I think it's really a pretty cool thing to see, the sort of the seeds of that.
Mm. Well, one thing that's developed with the NYO program over time was apprenticeships. Unless they've added, it was they have a librarian, composer, and conductors. Any plans for non-performance positions that you're thinking about introducing an apprenticeship in future years?
That's a great question, and we have talked a little bit about that, particularly with the sort of unique needs
of, you know, jazz librarian, you know, sort of a, it's a niche thing. We've talked a little bit about that and a little bit about, you know, with the great commissions, the two commissions that we did this year, both of those composers and arrangers came to work with the ensemble. I should have mentioned that actually as part of our other activities. So John Clayton and Miguel Zinon were both able to come last week and rehearse the band on their pieces. So we've talked a little bit about it, but no formal plans at this point. I think we're, you know, seeing how this inaugural year goes, and seeing what, you know, what the needs and possibilities might be for future years.
Mm. And so what did they narrow down the repertoire to include?
Well, we've got a core set list of 14 tunes that we'll be performing at Carnegie Hall that they'll be performing tomorrow evening. And then there are 5 to 6 sort of, you know, additional alternate pieces that that Sean will, you know, rotate in on different concerts on the tour. So he wanted it to be a truly professional experience. He wanted them to tour like a professional big band. And so he has said to them that they should be ready, you know, and with all the music that's prepared, and that, you know, there may be changes to the set list the day before or the day of. And of course, we're touring with the incredible Diane Reeves. And so the arrangements that Diane will be singing on, there's also an opportunity to swap some of those in and out depending on what she would like to sing on a concert. So there is a core set, you know, all told that's about 20 pieces, and the 7 concerts will be, you know, selected from within that set. The only other thing that I would say is just to reiterate the vision behind the programming for this ensemble, and the work that Sean Jones has done to really put together a program that represents the diversity and the flexibility of the big band, and the big band as you know, as America's orchestra. So I think, you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about is the way that this music and this repertoire represents past, present, and future. You know, we have the Duke Ellington, the Count Basie, the Thad Jones, the classic, great, you know, works of the big band. We have the more modern day, and of course the current commissions and the new music that was written for the ensemble. And then we have, you know, a couple pieces that sort of look to the future and look at hip hop and other types of, you know, the way that jazz is influencing where music is going. So I just think that's a really unique statement to the world, really, as ambassadors for jazz music, about what the broad scope of jazz means and means to these young people.
That was Joanna Massey, Director of Learning and Engagement Programs at the Weill Music Institute. You can find out more about all of the NYO programs, including information about applying for next year's, at carnegiehall.org/education/young-musicians. I hope you enjoy the conversations I bring you each week on La Tempo, focusing on the changing dynamics of the world of the classical performing arts. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.